reality, Christians, is that there are so many out there who claim to speak for God, and yet they all seem to be saying something different. One will come along and will say, "This is what the Bible teaches." And then the next will come along and say, "That's not what it teaches at all." So who then is right and who is wrong? And honestly, Christians, one of them has to be right. They can't both be true. You can't say that something is true and false at the same time. It has to be one or the other. But how do I know then which one of them is actually right? How do I determine the truth? Well, John tells us in our epistle reading for today, in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." So by putting what we hear to the test, we can determine what is right and what is wrong. And of course, it is important to know what is right and what is wrong. We don't want to think that somehow it doesn't matter. Because unfortunately, there's a common temptation these days to just sort of ignore these things, to just ignore the question, and not even bother to try to figure it out. People will say, "Well, everybody's true in their own way." And people will say, we're all in this together. So what does it matter who's right and who's wrong? Let's just all get along with one another. But Christians, error is a deadly thing. And it's not because getting God wrong is not just a matter of opinion. If I believe a wrong thing, or if I, as a pastor, teach a wrong thing, that is a lie. And a lie is a sin. So false belief or false teaching is a sin. And like every sin, it can lead us away from God. Having the wrong God may very well lead me straight into hell. This is why it's important for us to know the truth. It is important to determine what is right and what is wrong. But let me be very clear here, Christians. I am not saying that making a simple mistake is a sin. Everybody makes mistakes. Even the very best of teachers doesn't always say things very clearly sometimes. Sometimes they do slip up. That just happens. And I'm not saying that being misinformed is a sin. Sometimes people just genuinely don't know any better. They haven't learned it clearly, or they've forgotten the things that they've learned. Yes, it's a problem that needs to be corrected, but it's not a sin. But in both of these cases, Christians, there is a willingness to listen, a willingness to learn and to be corrected. And that's what ultimately makes the difference. But somebody who is unwilling to change, unwilling to learn, unwilling to be corrected, and persists in their wrong ideas, that is the deadly sin. And it's one that will finally kill our soul. Those are the ones that John warns us to mark and avoid. So what does John mean exactly by testing? Well, the picture that he uses when he says testing is of proving metals, like trying to prove them for their purity. Like having a touchstone, for example, where you take a piece of metal and scrape it on the stone, and then you compare the streak that is left with something that you know is a pure quality. If they match, then it's genuine. Or like weighing a metal to see if it weighs as much as it's supposed to. In that case, you can know that it doesn't just appear to be gold, for example, but it actually is gold. And Christians, our touchstone, the thing which we judge all things, is the Holy Scriptures, the very Word of God. We are called to compare everything that we hear with the Bible, to take those words, so to speak, and to streak them across the Word of God and see what kind of mark they make. If it's the same as what God says, then it's true. But if it's different, then it's false. And when we prove everything that we hear by the Scriptures in this way, we will never be led astray. And in that way, Christians, we become like the saints at Berea, who heard the preaching of Paul and of Silas. But they didn't just accept what they were saying because they were apostles, as if it was just on their authority. Rather, we're told in Acts 17, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So did what Paul and Silas say match the Scriptures? And when they saw that it did, they accepted it as true, and they believed. So let us then do the same, comparing everything that we hear with the clear Word of God. And John, in our reading, gives us a very specific example of what this looks like. He says in verse 2, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." So he's telling his readers then to think about the things that they're hearing. What do these people have to say about Jesus? Compare it to what the Scriptures say. I mean, think about what John himself says in his Gospel, John chapter 1. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So put that to the test then. Compare what you hear, he says, with this. Do they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, or do they say something else? The unbelieving Jews, for example, denied that Jesus the Christ had actually come. They said that the Messiah was still yet to come, and so it did not match. And that showed this was not from God. And there were some in those days who said that Jesus only appeared to come in the flesh, that it just looked like he had a body, that he was something like a ghost. But in that case, he hadn't come in the flesh. They were saying something different, meaning they were not from God. And there were even some in those days who claimed to be moved by the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but who said terrible things about Jesus. Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians says, "I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So no matter how impressive these people seem to be, no matter how impressive they seem to be filled with the Spirit, they were saying something different. And that showed that they were not from God. All of them had failed the test, so they didn't have to listen to them. This is what it means to put all things to the test. But there are three concerns that I do think need to be answered. And the first one is that most people these days will say, "I believe what the Bible says." Of course, there are some who say that they don't, that they think that the Bible is wrong, in which case it's a real easy test. They've already failed. You can move on. But most people are going to say that I believe what the Bible says. So is just saying that I'm a Bible-believing Christian good enough? Is just opening up the Bible and quoting what it has to say good enough? Does this prove that they are from God? Well, unfortunately, no, Christians. Satan quoted the Bible to Jesus. And Jesus himself says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. We need to consider something more. And what we need to consider is also the outcome of what they say. What are the fruits of their words? Do they say one thing and do another? Do they claim to speak for God but end up denying him in practice? Well, John points to this a little bit later in the same chapter when he says in verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So no love meant that they were not of God, no matter what they said. So the test is not just a matter of words. It means comparing everything, what they say and what they do, against the Word of God. And by looking at this whole picture, you'll be able to tell who is right and who is wrong. The second thing we might wrestle with is, well, we admitted that people can be mistaken, that sometimes we don't always have things correct personally. So how do I know then that I'm examining these things rightly? Maybe I don't know my Bible as well as I would like to. Maybe I have serious doubts about my ability to judge in this situation. If it's just a matter of my own personal judgment, how do I know that I'm not mistaken? How do I know that I'm not condemning someone just based on my own feelings or my own tastes or my own ideas, when in fact they're actually from God? Well, notice what John says throughout this passage, Christians. He says things like, beloved, little children, and we. And even if it's kind of hard to see in English, all of the verbs in this passage are plural and not singular. John says, all of you test the spirits. By this, all of you know. Little children, you all are from God. So John then is speaking to all of us. Yes, of course, we do need to judge these things individually. We need to consider these things on our own, whether they agree with the Word of God or not. But we are also called to judge these things as the body of Christ. All of us together examine them. All of us together test these things against the Scriptures, so that my own personal faults, my own personal blind spots, are not going to skew the judgment in the wrong way. We help one another. We guide one another. We correct one another, testing these things together to see if they are from God. The last thing that we want to consider is, well, we need to know, how do we avoid going astray as a group? Just because we're in a group doesn't mean we can't make a mistake. Unfortunately, we have examples of cults which have led people astray, sometimes even to their own death. So do we finally have a surefire way of knowing what is true and what is false? Well, John makes this clear. The truth finally does not depend on me. It doesn't depend on my cleverness. It doesn't depend on my intelligence. It doesn't depend on how much I've read or how much I can figure out. Rather, knowing the truth is a gift of God. As John says in verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God is greater than the spirit of error. And we know the truth, we can know the truth, because God has revealed it to us. So when we listen to God, then, we know the spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit will keep us in the way of truth. But I want to close by clarifying that last point. Because, again, I don't mean just anybody who says, I believe in God, is necessarily going to be right. Rather, we are called to consider all of these things together. To not separate them from each other. To take them all together as one. We are called to trust in the Lord. We are called to hold on to His Word. We are called to walk in His ways. We are called to be joined together in His church. We are called to be willing to learn, willing to be corrected. And we are called for all of us together to lead us in the right way. To be earnestly concerned about what is true and what is false. All of these things, Christians, are a gift of God. And through all of them together, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth, because your word is truth. And keep us in the narrow way through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.